Welcome, Sonic Archaeologists, peering back through the mists of time elapsed, looking for audio relics from a bygone Sonic age.
Sucking it, Grandad. You're listening to the podcast version of The Quietest Hour, thequietest.com's weekly radio program. For full versions of the programs, including all of the songs and music, please visit our website, thequietest.com/radio. Thanks for listening.
Can I remind them about the poof now?
Todd stole John's mole.
I'm John Doran.
I'm Luke Turner.
Don't want to say it.
Come on, John, the people want your poof.
I don't like it. It's
come
childish.
On. Come on.
People think I'm being awful.
They don't think you're being awful. Come on.
Pull up a poof. It's time for...
The Quietest Hour. So, this is The Quietest Hour, first one officially back in 2017. We're going to be playing a lot of new music, about which we're excited this year, because it's going to be a good year for music, if nothing else. And that was Moon Landings, to start things off with, Black Hands.
That really is such a superb tune. Don't be put off by the fact you can hear Todd the dog snoring in the background, because he sat next to us whilst we're recording this show. Because dogs might not like the moon landings, but we really do.
We do, and we're going up to Hebden Bridge to see them on
only
Friday.
2 days now. Can't
Quite
wait!
Excited, going up on the train, and I was listening to the Moon Landings album, John, and I realised that I could see in the reflection of my laptop screen that I was making quite a mucky face, and if anyone from GCHQ was spying in, they might have thought I was. Pleasuring myself. I was actually just listening to the Moon Landings
album.
I
believe there is a whole department at GCHQ of spooks that are directly involved with monitoring masturbating music journalists.
it's a fantastic record, the Moon Landings record.
What other records won't you do the mucky face, just as a matter of interest?
Ooh. Musics of many types can make me do the mucky face.
Right.
I think. It's a good question, that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
Do you ever do the mucky face? You're a bit more refined than I am, so you might not do the mucky face.
I might know. That's an interesting concept. We're not allowed to mention this because somebody always complains on social media if I do, but I do sometimes pull the mucky face if I'm listening to Burn Mind by Wolf Eyes.
But it is a special song for you and Maria, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. What other albums? I mean, like, what? It's hard to do sexy on record these days, isn't it? I've found that, like, you know, it was acceptable in the 70s, to paraphrase that Calvin Harris thing. All music in the 70s was sexy, but now you get ridiculed if you try and make sexy music. Although I do think that Moon Landings and Fat White Family
both
are quite
make
sexy
music.
Band.
Knights of Ebb, I definitely do sexy face when listening to Knights of Ebb.
Well, again, after the late 80s, early 90s, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so listeners, what makes you do mucky face? Hebden, John, we get up there Friday. That's going to be great. I think some of our listeners are coming, actually.
Do come over and say hello to Luke and I. I shall be manning the decks and playing nothing but sexy music, actually.
Oh,
that's going to be my DJ rationale for the evening.
Bringing sexy to the Calder Valley. next up, what have we got? Aqua Surge.
I refuse to pronounce this record, but it's very good, and it is a new for this year slab of psych rock featuring auxiliary members of Stereolab, Tame Impala, and Acid Mother's Temple. We interviewed this band, or rather I should say David McKenna of the Fantastic Rock Fort column interviewed this band for us several years ago. But for the French pronunciation of the track, over to you, Luke.
Tour du monde, laisse s'être.
That was Aqua Surge, and I must admit I've been housebound recently because my son's been a bit poorly, so I've not been out and about. But you've been out and about, haven't you?
I have been out and about, John. If you were a regular subscriber to the Quiet as Our podcast, which you should be, and if you're not, sign up now. I did a podcast with Shirley Collins, Dan and Lewis last week, and she told me about Bullsdean, which is a valley.
Bullsdean?
Helmdeep was actually a valley in Lord of the Rings, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Helmsley, yeah, not Helmdeep. Anyway, she told me about Bullsdean, this valley in the South Downs where she sees Roman legionaries on the hilltops.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's sort of a very uncanny, strange place. And I went there at the weekend, walked from Brighton to Lewis with William Doyle, a friend of the Quieters. We had a lovely walk. It was a beautiful, crisp, bright day, and I walked through Bullsdean.
Can you report back on any uncanniness, weirdness, or eeriness?
Well, it is an uncanny valley. It was quite odd. We were going there through it just as sunset fell, and there's a way the South Downs sort of roll. Distance becomes very strange. Will was having a psychedelic experience in that things kept moving backwards and forwards. I was finding it, you know, you can't tell whether a ridge is a mile away or not that far. And we did find in the bottom of Bullsdean, I want to go back actually to find the locations of all these places, but there was a medieval chapel that was used as artillery practice, target practice in the war, and a village, and it's just gone. But there are some barns remaining that are quite creepy, and if the world does go to crap, you might well end up locked in one of these barns in a sort of really unpleasant scenario.
I've seen a Walking Dead. I'm aware of what happens in barns.
Yeah, there was a sort of broken refrigeration unit, which was quite unsettling.
And Deliverance as well, actually.
Yeah, well, it wasn't very nice, but yeah, there was a man flying his aeroplane, and there was some dead sheep. It was quite an odd place. I definitely needed a few pints of lovely Harvey's Ale in the Lewis Arms afterwards.
Well, fantastic. Now, coming up next on today's Quietest Hour, we have Gun Law, and this is taken from the Man vs. Sofa album, the fantastic new album, which also features Mr. Ryuichi Sakamoto. But anyway, this track by Pinch and Sherwood features Junior Delgado and Taz on vocals, and this is Gun Law. So, coming up soon, you will be no doubt thrilled to know that I am having a day that happens to me once every 700 days, which is I go out clothes shopping.
This is such a strange... One should always be open to clothes shopping, John.
I'm not saying I'm necessarily closed off to it per se, because I do have a caveat to my rule, which is if I happen to be passing a TK Maxx, and I'm not in a mad rush, and I don't have that much work on my schedule, I will go inside and see if there's a shirt or a jumper or possibly even a pair of socks that fits me. But usually I just go out shop because I hate it so much.
But there's a risk with TK Maxx, because I did that on Monday. I need a new wallet because I lost or somebody stole my wallet a couple of weeks ago. So I went in TK Maxx because you can usually get a good quality leather wallet, reasonable price. Didn't have any wallets I like, but I did come out with a potato peeler, a pack of handkerchiefs, and a new fitted sheet for my bed. I didn't need any of those things necessarily.
Party night. That's,
yeah. Quite.
The thing with just popping into clothes shops at random, I find that I often buy kind of like shirts that are maybe just a little bit too loud or garish for me, and it's like I often end up looking like a very low level Cockney gangster at a christening, you know what I mean? You know, it's just a slightly too flash shirt. And it's just not me, really. So what I do is I go and buy myself one new outfit once every 2 years, or maybe two new outfits on one day. So what I've got, essentially, it's just come to this point where I need to go down the clothes shop. Anyone who's been watching or listening to this podcast for the last year will notice that in every single promotional shot for that podcast, I'm wearing this denim jacket. And it's just like, it's even started to bug me a little bit now. It's just like, do I not own any other clothes? And the short answer to that is, well, in this style, not really, no. So I was going to ask you your maybe if you could give me some input onto this. I mean, what about shoes and trousers? What should I buy for myself?
Well, a nice pair of brogues, John. It's always good.
I do have a pair of brogues, but the reason why I never wear them is I don't have trousers to go with them, I don't think.
Well, if you bought the trousers to go with them, then you'd have solved your shoe problem without having to buy another pair of shoes.
What sort of trousers should I go for, do you think?
I don't know. I've been looking for another replacement pair of these, St. Michael's 1970s high-waist trouser. Actually,
I find your deep knowledge of the trouser game quite dizzying.
I was interviewing Cozy Fanny Tootie last week about
trousers.
Well, we had a nice chat about trousers, and there's a great bit in her book where she talks about how she first went for Chris Carter because he at eye level she saw his lovely bottom and his front package in a nice pair of high-waisted 70s trousers. And she said this was the great thing of the 70s. Men's trousers were cut to show it all off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I agree with that. It's very hard to get a well-cut trouser, which...
You say eye level. Was he on stilts at the time?
She was sat down.
Oh,
and,
I see,
he'd,
right.
He'd come into the room. Ah. So, I mean, I don't know. Where are you
not sure that I've got the body at my age currently to show off a proper, pair of 1979 Lee Coopers or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get myself a personal trainer before I think about slipping into a pair of them. Anyway, just to interrupt the clothes chat for a second, I think we should play our next tune. And coming up next, we have I think this has caused a minor amount of consternation in the Quietus office. Mm. I'm very much a big fan of this next track.
I'm
Luke
not.
Isn't at all. Anyway, this is, see what you think. This is Childish Gambino and Redbone. I need some bromide after that.
I don't. That was Childish Gambino and Redbone.
Okay, so we've covered me from the waist down. Dead. Uninspiring.
Yeah, now you want your top half.
Yeah, I'm feeling more buoyant and optimistic about my top half. What I really want to know is, it's like I think I've got my shirt game down.
You're just going to get another denim shirt.
You know what I was like when I first met you. I would wear nothing other than heavy metal t-shirts. Yeah. And
quite big ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I was getting out of the shower the other day and my glasses were all steamed up and I picked up an old t-shirt and put it on. And it was, it was like I was wearing some sort of like art project or something. This is huge. Why have I put a poncho on? Oh, it's one of my old t-shirts. So what I'm really interested in is, like, now you wandered into the building wearing a flat cap the other day, and I'm not ready for that. I'm just not ready for it. And
it's not a flat cap sort of, it's just more aristocratic flat cap.
What I really like is, now, do you know in the 70s when the chaps from blaxploitation films would wear those big leather hats made up of about seven different triangles of leather with a bit of a peak at the front.
Oh, yeah.
What are they called? Are they called something like boiler makers hats or something?
I don't know what they're called.
I really want one of them. If anyone who's watching this, by the way, wants to give me advice on what I should buy and where I should go to buy it, please leave a comment under this on the Quietus, because I really am a child in these matters. So, like, that's my one idea for a hat. I don't know if you've got any ideas of what hat
sort
game
of
should be.
You could bring back the shovel hat.
I don't know what that is.
It's one of those sort of triangular ones that were around in the 19th century, and 18th century. They've not really come back yet. You could do it. You're in your 40s now. You can do what you want. You don't have to worry about fashion. You can just be a pioneer.
No, I'm not worried. I don't want to be fashionable. I want to look less aesthetically displeasing as possible,
I think you look good, though.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind of you to say so. You know, I remember when I first met you, you were never without a really rakish fedora. Is that really a young man's game?
I think I was possibly wrong to do that as well. It was a Homburg as well. Homburg. Yeah. The problem is they're very impractical hats because you have to hold them when you're indoors. I think it's very rude to wear a hat indoors if you're a man.
Yours look like a slightly morally compromised spy.
I do like looking like a morally compromised spy. Though I did have a particular, I thought, very nice jacket. It goes down to my knees, a really sort of light blue thing, and I was wearing that hat, and some kids started shouting Inspector Gadget at me, which I thought was a little rude.
Oh.
But you just find a nice thing, like my jacket over there, my dad bought, I think, in 1968 with his first paycheck, and I had a lovely time the other night sorting out the jacket, treating it with leather, looking after the weak spots. It's very satisfying. If you get a good old soft leather jacket, I think that would suit you, something like that.
I think the cornerstone of my new outfit really needs to be in my new jacket. Like, you know, I am getting sick of seeing this denim jacket. So if anyone has any advice to me on what sort of jacket I should buy, probably not the one that Adamant wore in the Stand and Deliver video.
No.
But yeah, any jacket advice is required by me. Now, on Friday night, no, on Saturday night even, I saw an absolutely fantastic gig. And that was by the band we're just about to play now. And they are called Pigs Pigs, Pigs Pigs, Pigs Pigs, Pigs. And this is Sweet Relief.
So that was Pigs, 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 and Sweet Relief. And that was great. And John went to see them the other night downstairs.
I went to see them on Saturday night, Pig 7, as I shall call them from this point on in this segment. And they were absolutely fantastic. They were fronted by a young man from Newcastle who was wearing a shirt, the like of which I've not seen I was last in St. Helens Tontine Market in 1983. It was open to the very midriff, and he came on stage drinking lustily from a bottle of Buckfast, monk brewed tonic wine,
yes,
from the West Country. Yeah, absolutely brilliant, really, really satisfying blend of doom, stoner rock there, and you know, it was really, really gratifying. I believe our latest member of staff, or our friend of the site, Paddy Clark, he went up north to watch them on Sunday, I believe. He saw them in Manchester.
He did, he's nodding.
And apparently there were wild scenes up there, and I've heard that also the Newcastle show had to be bumped up to a much bigger venue. So like Pigs, Arps done it, Pigs 7 mania is breaking out all over the UK, or England at least, I should say. But I was really happy to go out. I mean, as my girlfriend pointed out, you would be happy. It's the first time you've been out in 3 months. But I was really happy to go out because they had a very good supporting bill. The always fantastic Lois Slaughter were in support. Mm-hmm. Now, Lois Slaughter I first saw when they had a different singer on Super Normal. And my son was on my shoulders and he became so excited by how good Lois Slaughter was, he started punching me in the face, and we had to remove him from the sonic radius so he could calm down a little bit. They've now got a new singer. I think they're even better. As somebody excitedly shouted next to me during the gig, it's like a punk status quo. Now, if you think that sounds like a good idea, and I really do,
yeah, definitely,
then go and watch him. Before that, thanks. This is a sarcastic thanks, in case you can't tell from my tone of voice. Thanks to the giant crane in the middle of Stamford Hill Broadway on Saturday night. My bus took half an hour longer than expected to get to the Lexington, and I missed the absolutely fantastic Tuff Tits.
That's a shame.
Who I believe put on a brilliant performance. Now, interestingly enough, my son asked me where I was going when I left the house on my way to see Tuff Tits, and I was like, I think at the age of five, I shouldn't really be saying that I'm off to watch a band called Tuff Tits. And I was left with an interesting quandary. What do I say? I nearly said, because I was looking at his giant stuffed owl, which was by his head at the time, I nearly said Tuff Owl. And I just thought, that's ludicrous. So in the end, I said, I'm off to see Tuff Teeth. And at the end of the day, I thought, Tuff Teeth.
Tuff Teeth.
That is a good...
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it?
The name Tuff Teeth tells you a story.
Yeah.
As does Tuff Tits, actually. Just a story that I believe is slightly out of the grasp of my five-year-old son. And it reminded me that when I was younger, I used to say to my mum and dad, right, they'd be like, which band are you watching tonight? And I'd be like, I'm watching the Bikers. I was actually watching Gay Bikers
and Acid. What about the Revolting Cocks?
I never went to see them live.
Oh, they're playing this summer.
Revco. What I used to say. Yeah. And the other main one that I remember was... I'm off to watch The Surfers.
Not The Butthole Surfers. You not liked a lot of bands surfers. With rude names, didn't you?
Oh, it was the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I recently was trying to explain Throbbing Gristle to my parents.
Really?
Oh, dear. That was one that was tricky. And then I had a Guns N' Roses poster on my wall, and it said GNFNR. And my mum said, what are those extra birds for in the middle? So that was another one. And she used to not like... we would worry when I was reading NME because of all the swearing in it as well. Yeah. You know.
Well, it used to be asterisked out, didn't it, at least?
Or yeah, but it was they were still swearing, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They were still swearing, yeah.
Okay, so let us know if you've ever come unstuck by having to name a naughty band in front of your
parents. What if you were going to see that band with the KDH and... A U and an NNT in it.
They
were,
oh dear! Yeah,
What would you say to little John then?
I would just start crying
because you are going to be seeing them soon.
Yeah,
aren't
I am going to be seeing them soon. We're going to have to come up with some sort of code here.
Yeah,
because you can't even say it backwards, can you? Do you know what? I'm going to have to learn Polari, the lost language of the cranes. Okay, so coming up next, we have the return of the absolutely fantastic Anglo-Nigerian outfit Ibibio Sound Machine, and this is Give Me a Reason. That was Ibibio Sound Machine, Give Me a Reason. And I don't need a reason to play Ibibio Sound Machine because they are fantastic.
But we would need a reason to play The Persuader, which is coming up next. So you're listening to The Quietest Hour, and this is our regular feature, called The Persuader, where you, our listeners, have to ring in to persuade us to play you a song. It's very, very simple. Think of a song that you really like. Ring up 020-33-93-63-95 and leave us an answer phone message telling us why we should play the song of your choice. John, what do you respond best to at the moment?
As always, people with regional accents threatening imminent violence, and just generally people threatening to become emotional in front of me, or even in the same building as me. People showing human emotions in the same building as me, I do not like it.
Well, what have we got? Have we got anything, Seb?
We have!
Woohoo! Play it away.
Hello, this is Davros Davis. I would like to request Holger Chukai's Oh Lord, Give Us More Money. I would like you to play this just so you are aware the British Transport Police have already been called.
Good to hear from you, Mr. Davros. It's a nice choice, and as much as we normally like to play a 13-minute long jazz funk number from Germany, we've actually got a track by Can coming up later in the show. Yeah. So request denied, but do phone in next time. What's that number again?
It is, John, 020-33-93-63-95.
And now coming up next, we have our favourite art... can we call them an art rock band?
Sort of art. People do, don't they?
Okay, so our favourite art rock band, Wire. And this is Short Elevated Period. In a short... If I had to make an anthology of Wire's greatest songs, that would be on it for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is probably my favourite Wire track since Comet from 2003.
Absolute cracker,
one of the best Wire songs. Yeah, so that's Wire. They've got a new album out this year. It's their 40th anniversary, and unlike their other bands of their ilk, they're not doing any kind of lucrative Pink Flag tour or any of that. They're looking firmly towards the future. And this album is going to be really good, I think. That is one of the best Wire songs they've ever written. After 40 years, amazing.
I've got a new DJing laptop, and I was loading up WAVs onto it, as you do, yesterday, for DJing purposes. And that I'm going to have to find a WAV of that and add that to it. Comets was on it. I also put Drill on it.
Oh, nice.
Map reference.
Oof.
But yeah, I think I need a few more mid-period Wire songs.
Bell is a Cup, things like that.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, for sure. That was for sure.
So yeah, hopefully on Friday, John, before the moon landings, you might play a Wire song. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I definitely will play a Wire song.
I will look forward to that. So Seb, our producer Seb White, came in with not only a dog, but also...
Now read out what it says, Luke.
It says, life moves pretty fast. It's a tattoo, we should say. Yeah.
Now, Luke,
on Seb's forearm.
I'm kind of dreading asking you this, but do you know what this is a reference to?
No.
This is unbelievable. Seb, should he know what this is a reference to?
What is it?
Do you know who Abe Froman is?
You're Abe Froman.
That's right.
I'm Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago.
No.
You don't know who the Sausage King of Chicago is?
No.
So when you hear the sonic phrase, what does that refer to?
Nothing. I don't know. So what is the connection between that silly sound, Seb's tattoos, and sausages from Chicago?
It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off, of course, you nincompoop.
Ah, I have seen the film.
How can you not remember any of this stuff?
It's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
I'm absolutely speechless. I think we should move quickly on. See, even Todd the dog is barking in disgust at your...
No, Todd's with me.
You don't want to watch that rubbish, do you, Todd?
No.
I think it's about to descend into physical violence. So now let's go straight on to one of my favourite bands, Nod. And this is their new track called Bodies for Money, which is taken from the snappily titled Just Say No to the Psycho Right-Wing Capitalist Fascist Industrial Death Machine, which is out on March the 31st on Rocket Records. Take it away, Seb.
We'll be right back.
Hold Me Down, Susan. That was amazing.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? That is a new song from Nod, who just announced a date in London if you want to look for it on the Google machine. So, we're nearly at the end of this quietest hour. Thank you for listening on Facebook, on Mixcloud, on the podcast. Do subscribe to the podcast if you're not aware of it. There is a semi-regular download of podcasts, and you can listen to all the old ones there too on your phone.
And if you were listening very, very carefully, you will hear that Todd the dog's snoring is abating in the background. But unfortunately, mine are your snoring.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing issue, isn't it?
It is the big problem, really, snoring. And I realised, well, my girlfriend, being a very nice, concerned person, was researching why I have horrible nightmares the whole time. And there is a thing called sleep apnea.
I have that.
Yeah, which is the lack of oxygen, and it's often, apparently I stop breathing quite a lot after a particularly good snort in my sleep. You know, she has to wear earplugs and all sorts. So the other day I did record her snoring, and I won't play it on air, that would be cruel. But yeah, there was this one awful time when John and I were sharing a room in, where were we? Were we in Norway?
We were on the Arctic Circle, so it would have been Trana.
Yeah, and like whalers or other people who used to share rooms in the Arctic Circle, it was very loud, John snoring, and it kept waking me up. It was preposterously loud. It was shaking the room.
But then the following night, I was awake all night while you were snoring, and I kept on hitting you. Your face was bright red the next morning. You probably didn't realise because I was hitting you with a pillow. On the other side of the island the next day, three beached whales. Was it a coincidence?
I don't think so. I don't think so. So, yeah, we are going to be sharing a flat in Hebden Bridge at the weekend, and I'm hoping that we don't cause another avalanche behind Ben Meyer's house.
To be fair to me, I have lost about 3 or 4 stone since that trip to the nether regions of the world, the beautiful nether regions of the top of the earth, and I believe that my snoring is now more manageable.
Ah.
Not quite as bad as it used to be. I mean, like sleep apnea, though, yeah, I used to... You can come back from it. I used to have it. I don't have it anymore. That thing of waking up in a shock because your brain's been starved of oxygen, yeah. I used to have that all the time.
I get that. So, so that's the end of this week's show, pretty much. Thank you to Seb White, as usual, for being a brilliant producer.
Thanks to Todd the dog.
And we're going to finish with some Cannes.
Well... We don't need to say too much of this other than the fact that we recently lost a musical outlier, a musical genius, the drummer of Cannes, Jackie Leibesait. And this is an early version of Vitamin C taken from the Lost Tapes release. And I think, you know, if you ever wanted to know just how powerful and formidable and influential a drummer he was. Take a listen to this, which is mainly, I believe, a live improvisation. Oh, thank God that's over. Time to put the poof back in its dusty slot.
you are enduring the Quietest Hour podcast. And if you're a real glutton for punishment, you can listen to the entire program featuring all the music via our website at thequietest.com/radio.
If you'd like to support what we do, there is a support button on the front page of the website where you can make donations and help us carry on our fantastic work.
Or you can just pay us to stop.